Still says off air.
There's a little marker.
Good evening. This is Katie Hunter from MMA UK. I'm joined by my co-host, Lewis Smith.
Hi, everyone.
And we're joined by the fantastic James Webb.
How's it going, guys?
Really good, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very good. I just got myself home after a little session in the gym, so ready for you.
What have you been doing tonight?
I was boxing tonight. Have a very good boxing coach. So me and him have just been working together. So
just to refresh people's memories, you fight out of SBG Swords in Ireland.
Yeah.
And you've also got a gym here in England. So where are you at the moment?
I'm in England. I'm in Colchester.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I fly back tomorrow morning. So you're back in.
And you're still splitting your time pretty much 50-50 between both places.
It's more like 80-20, 70-30, you know? It's not 50-50. I sort of spend like a working week in Ireland. Then I'm home. I come back a little bit earlier this time. Well, I spent last week in Ireland, actually. So I come home for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday for a birthday weekend. But I'm back tomorrow till Friday night. And then I think I'm there next week, so the weekend. And then I'm coming up to the fight. I think I'm out there then for the following weekend. And then it's Friday. Yeah. So
is it exhausting doing all that travelling? I know it's not that far, but just spending your life in airports or what have you?
Nah, I've got the suss of it now, so I don't go to the airport too early. I turn up to Stansted about an hour before the flight, fast track, priority boarding, straight on. The flight's only like 50 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And the same coming back as well, like just fast track it. I'm not spending that too much time in there. It's pretty quick. By the time you're through security, get a coffee, walk to your gate. Like, you've got to walk forever when you're with Ryanair. You've always got to walk to the end of the airport. you're pretty much boarding the plane, you know? So I enjoy it. And it's actually, you know, like, obviously I don't train in London anymore. A few years back, I used to find myself in London training. And it's more expensive going to London than it is for me going to Ireland, as mad as that sounds, you know? And,
yeah.
It's like my third year anniversary today, I think, or maybe no, it's the third year anniversary today of me being there, you know, so.
Congratulations.
It's been really emotional.
Well, it's obviously working well for you because the last time we spoke was at Cage Warriors 99 when you just got that super fast first round knockout victory over Jason Radcliffe. You were on cloud nine and you said 2018 had been the best year ever, but 2019 doesn't sound like it's starting out too badly either.
No, these years are getting better. Like I've been saying they're the best years for my career for a long time. They're always getting better and better, and I plan on 2019 being the same, you know. I will go there in just under a month, 3 weeks this Saturday, and I will 100% take the belt, without a doubt. So I'll start 2019 very strong, and then you know, just reset and see where we're going from there.
We thought you were going to get the title shot after your last fight. When did you find out, and how did you find out?
I didn't expect the title shot. Like I'm just happy enough to be fighting and to be fighting guys, and I'm happy like that. But I got the call on New Year's Eve, actually, about 7 o'clock, I think, from Chris. He rang me and just said, "You're fighting for the title." And it was a nice feeling. That was good. It was a nice way to like finish off 2018. I think, you know, really was a nice way. And ever since that like call, I've just got my head down. You know, I had to wait for my passport to be renewed, so I was in the UK until about the 14th of January. But like the guys I have back home are savages, you know. So I kept sharp. I was just training a lot of jiu-jitsu, you know, a lot of Brazilian jiu-jitsu and the gi for the guys doing the Europeans. And I was doing a lot of boxing as well, you know, still working on my conditioning. And then I went back there, and now it's just about tuning things up. I had 8 weeks to tune things up. So everything's going to plan. It's great.
Yeah.
Very good.
And you're fighting Thomas Robertson for the title. What do you make of him?
He's good. Yeah, he's good. He wouldn't be fighting for the title if he wasn't, you know.
True.
he's good. He's a good guy. He's been around. you know, he's like, I'd say he's very similar to myself. He's like fought, you know, been given guys of like, sometimes people would say of like of a higher caliber also, you know, like almost, you know, he's been just sort of fighting anyone, you know, he doesn't seem to be looking for easy fights. He seems to be there to want to fight and progress his own career. And you know, I'm happy that I'm fighting for the belt, but I'm happy I'm also fighting against him, you know, it's another good test. It'll just be a good fight, you know. So, yeah. Two guys trying to make their mark in Europe. Two guys who want to get the belt. It has to be a good fight, really. So.
Yeah. To me, one thing I noticed was that he only fought once last year and he got a submission in the first round. So
yeah.
I guess he hasn't had that much octagon time, you know, recently. I wonder if that'll affect him at all. I hope I'm right. I think I've done my research.
maybe I don't. Do you know what? I don't know. I don't really do too much research into all of that. You know, you do have an insight into who you're fighting and what their strengths are. But I just focus on me. If I'm honest with you, like I'm gonna go out there and do me. He'll go do him, and that's about it. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it'll be a big concern really if he's only fought once last year. I don't know. He might have had reasons he only fought once. Yeah. I like to stay active. I like to try and fight 3 or 4 times a year just because, you know, it gives me a goal. Like I'm doing this for a reason. I think the reason mainly is because I'd be obese if I didn't. And if I haven't got that goal in the sort of 8 to 12 weeks ahead, I'm just sitting here eating shite.
Fighting at heavyweight for the next time.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I like to stay active. I think it's just good for my confidence right now, you know, like the winds are racking up and I'm flying at the moment. I feel very good. It's going really good everywhere almost, you know, like I haven't got an aspect at the moment where I'm sort of struggling. My fitness is flying, I'm injury free, my rounds are going great. It's brilliant. I'm very excited to fight, you know, very excited.
Yeah. And obviously it's not as close as Colchester, but is it nice to be fighting pretty much at home again?
Yeah, like I love fighting in London. I like that venue a lot. And it doesn't really change too much. The sort of guys that were coming from Colchester, they'll travel up to London. You know, they've been travelling.
Yeah.
A lot of them guys have travelled for many years to come watch me in different places, and that's not that far for them. They just want to go and have a little piss up, you know, so they're happy enough. They're happy enough going down to London. Yeah, and it does feel like home now, you know, like I do feel like that's my home, you know, too. So hopefully it'll be a very good crowd there. I've heard it's nearly sold out, so expecting big things for the main event.
Yeah, definitely. How does it feel to be the main event again?
It actually feels a little bit more normal than it did for Colchester. The Colchester one really took me back, you know, because I never fought on the main card of Cage Warriors then, you know. I just sort of, I main evented the prelims and then it was the main card. That was when I fought Pello in the summer last year. Mm-hmm. And then I got like pretty much bumped straight away to the main event, and I found that it brought out the best of me, you know, like that the more obstacles, those, the pressure that gets thrown at you or the pressure you have to deal with, I felt that I took it well. I took it in my stride, and when I got told it was the main event for London, it felt right, you know. I was it feels good, and again, I just can't wait to go out there now. Like I'm ready to go.
So do you feel they've built you up at the right speed, really? You know, you're obviously on a 4-fight win streak, but every challenge you just kind of take it on, and it's as if it's nothing. There could have been a lot of pressure on you fighting, you know, as the main event at Colchester.
I don't even know if saying built up's the right way. Like I just, like, you know, I don't know what goes on really behind the scenes. I don't really deal with too much of what happens. I just get told by Chris sort of deals with everything for me. He sort of like manages everything for me. So I don't really get involved in any of that. He just sort of just tells me I'm fighting. That's literally what it was, you know. He didn't even tell me who my opponent was. He just told me at Christmas, he's like, you'll be fighting in London, you know. I'm very happy for that relationship we have, like, where he can just sort of do that for me and let me get on with my life almost, you know.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I mean, there could have been a lot of pressure for the Colster event. I just think it felt very, it did feel very normal, not normal, but it felt all quite natural. And I fought there a few times before, and you know, like, I think if you sit there and really think about it, it will get to you. But at the end of the day, as soon as you walk out, there's no, you forget all that. You don't think about anything else. You just sort of go out there and get ready to fight. You know, you're not thinking of cameras, you're not thinking of people. You're just focused then, you know. So, I don't know. Maybe that's the way I look at it, or my mindset. I don't know if other people think of it the same way. But for me, as soon as it's showtime, like, it's like time to switch on, you know. So nothing else around me really matters.
Yeah. Lewis, have you got any questions for James?
Yeah, first of all, James, I'm really looking forward to the fight, buddy. I think it's going to be a really exciting one. It's going to be nice to see another middleweight champion coming through. Like we touched earlier, I know you were saying about you're not sure if you've been built up at the right speed or if you've not been maybe come up fast. I personally think you've risen through the ranks quite quickly. You know, a little while back, you were someone that no one had heard of, and now you're headlining Cage Warriors, you're headlining Colchester. And you know, getting a really sort of big belt, well, the chance to win a really big belt. I mean, what does it mean to you to come up and win that belt in such a short? So I think, is it 2 years since you made your pro debut?
No, will actually, it'll be 2 years.
It's quite a quick period.
It'll be 2 years on the 18th of February, yeah.
I mean, what does it mean to you to come and win that belt in such a short period of time?
Everything. That's everything. Like, before I even went pro, I already set that goal. Coming from a team of like guys that had all held that belt, that sort of was something I already put in my head and like told myself that's what I'll be looking to do, you know. So
yeah,
it's the biggest thing like right now to me, you know. That's I'm looking at a vision board. I don't even know if I can turn the board around, but it says right in front of me like Cage Warriors World Champ.
It's a prestigious belt as well. Now it's a really big belt in Europe.
That's,
so.
Yeah,
that's been something that I've wanted for a long time, you know. And I do feel potentially could have come up very fast, but like I fought the guys well in front of me, you know. To like Jason fought for that belt two fights before that, wasn't it? And I beat him, so I believe that I should be fighting for the belt, you know. Like everyone that I got given to fight, I finished, and I believe finished well, you know. Like I think it's time, and I'm excited to fight for it. Like I said, it's everything. Like that to me is everything right now. Winning that belt is everything, and that's the thing that's been on my mind, not just since like the pro debut, since I started training over with Chris. That was what we spoke about, what I want to get out of it. And I remember saying I want to be a Cage Warriors champion, you know. So it feels like maybe to the outside it's come fast, but for me it's something that's been there for a long time working, you know.
Yeah. So, what's the long term goals for you as well, James? I know, like, obviously 2 years since you turned pro, give it a couple of years down the line, where do you see yourself? What's the long term goals in MMA for you?
Right now the long term goals obviously going to be the UFC.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes, that will come as well. Like I knew I was going to get the opportunity to fight for the belt at some point in my career, and I know that I'll fight for the UFC.
Yeah.
It used to seem a bit of a far-fetched goal at some point, you know, like when you say that to people, but at the moment I feel like picking up this belt and then maybe defending it, the chance of being in the UFC is quite high. Could be quite, you know, it could be there for me, you know, so that's a long-term goal, you know, like not even a long-term goal. A long-term goal, just all I want to get out of this sport really is, you know, a gym and then to be a successful coach myself in the future. But the UFC is definitely something I'm looking for, and again on that vision board I've got that I'm going to sign it this year from, you know. So
yeah. And one thing, we've got the maracas on there, Katie, have we?
Sorry. I've been told that we've got questions for James on YouTube, and I'm trying to unsuccessfully grabbed my laptop.
we'll get some of the questions for James off YouTube. Yeah, James, just quickly while she looks for that, what I wanted to ask as well, you spoke a little bit about the O2 Arena. What's your thoughts on the venue? Because it's not, I've been there a couple of times for Cage Warriors now, up to the O2. It's the Indigo Theatre, and it's the cage is on like a stage. What's your thoughts on that? It's different, isn't it?
It's very different, yeah. Like, I always get worried thinking I'm going to trip up as I go up the stairs. I like that. Have you been in the cage there?
I've not been in the cage.
Yeah, so when like you look up at the balcony, that's a mad view.
Yeah.
You know? So when you're in the cage, so I obviously I beat Pelo there, and I remember looking up and just seeing like this. But I don't know, it was like the maddest thing I've ever seen. You know, so I really like it there. You know, the downstairs area gets very busy. So I like being raised up. It seems a little bit more like a gladiator vibe, maybe.
I don't know. It's good for fans as well. Like from a fan's perspective, I know you said you get a lot of guys going up to watch you, but when you're down on that floor, it's kind of like being in a nightclub as well, because they blast the music out as well, and they go to the bar right next. So it is a very different atmosphere in the O2. So I think it's definitely a good venue, especially if you've got like a lot of people nearby.
Yeah, definitely, if you're going, a lot of people going. I think, they get more of a night out of it, you know. Like, it's a good vibe there, you know. There is a good vibe there, and I think the way they make it look is amazing. I really do enjoy that venue. You know, I think they do some bigger arenas. I think the Echo's bigger, isn't it? And
yeah, I would think so.
I think even the one in Wales, they went to two venues, I think, last time.
They do Newport and the Ice Arena. The Ice Arena is quite big.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe there's just something about the London show, you know?
Yeah. What's the best place you fought, James?
The best place?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I'd
have to say headlining Cage Warriors 99 back in my hometown. But really, it's probably the O2. Yeah, that's the best place, you know? So.
Yeah. Because I've never been to Colchester, but that's a smaller arena in Colchester, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just the hall. It's just a hall, like a sort of where...
Like a leisure centre, isn't it?
It is a leisure centre. You'd have like 4 badminton courts almost, you know what I mean? That's where it is, the sort of venue it is. So, but they make that look great as well, you know, like... I think their production team make anything look good, you know. So that is a small venue, though, very small. I think that holds about 900, maybe something like that, you know. And that's like rammed, you know. Then,
especially with the layout they've got with the tables by the cage,
yeah, that takes a bit of room up too, yeah.
So what about the possibility of becoming a double weight champ? That seems to be popular at the moment. And you said you like eating. Would you consider that?
I mean, I'm not going down. There's no way I could go down in definitely. My body won't go down. I physically couldn't make world weight, you know?
Would you consider going up?
I don't know. Like, I know people like to be the champ and all that, but like, I don't really care that much. winning one belt is gonna be I'm not interested in that. Like, I think just win your belt, you know, like defend it, whatever you got to do with it. I'm not gonna be looking to fight the next division up. You know that. You know, I find myself as a big middleweight. I don't want to be fighting a guy that's a big light heavyweight, you know. So, I'm not too fussed about that, you know. Like I said, one belt's enough, you know. So,
okay, well, I've managed to find these questions.
Hopefully, there's nothing too rude there.
Some of them are our boss being rude to Lewis, so if they are rude, that's why.
Nothing
Lewis,
new there.
what are your thoughts on Scotland being on top? Is this the rugby?
On top of the Six Nations, I think that means, isn't it?
I guess it must be, yeah.
It's only the first weekend gone, so long way to go. I mean, it's good. It's good Scotland's doing well, you know? They're not as good as Wales, but yeah. I like Scotland, second favourite team, so all good.
And this goes back to something we were talking about last week, James. Somebody sent in this question and now we need to get it answered by everyone. How many Jaffa cakes can you eat in a minute?
No drink.
36. No drink.
No drink.
A 3-pack, 36, easy. Easy.
That's a bold claim.
What was the record, Lewis?
I can't even remember what it was. Was it
36?
I think, was it 70 odd or something like that?
In a minute.
I can't remember what it was.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I haven't tried that yet. I tried the cinnamon challenge. I tried that. I tried to do that once.
How did that go? I've seen people be really ill after doing that.
Yeah, like, I felt like actually I was going to choke.
Yeah.
But I actually didn't think it was like, I can't remember how it went down, but someone said, dude, try and do this. And then all of a sudden I was trying to swallow and I couldn't. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So that was a bit mad. But I'll have to try the Jaffa Cake one and get back to you.
Let's maybe wait till after the 2nd of March.
Yeah, maybe.
We've got another one here from Chris Emmanuel. Who do you see as your biggest threat in UK MMA in your weight class?
Is that in the promotion? What promotions are we talking about?
Overall? I think it's in, yeah, the whole of the UK.
There's a few guys that are very good, you know. Obviously, you had Lee Chadwick, that was obviously the ex-Cage Warriors champ. And then now he's fighting Fabian Edwards in Bellator. Two very good guys there. Who else we got? There's some guys in Ireland that are very good. Another middleweight over there I train with is very good. Do you know what? I just think... I think it comes down to being turning up on the day. You know, like there's obviously threats out there, like, to everyone, but I just think it's the consistency you can perform at. Like, I think anyone on their day, especially, you know, at a professional level, most of the guys know how to throw a half-decent punch, especially in middleweight. You get caught by anybody. Like, I got caught and fortunately managed to get back up, but that could have been lights out, you know. So, yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm one of the best UK middleweights out there. But there's definitely a lot of very good guys, a lot of talented guys that are up there as well, you know. So I don't know. Maybe I cross paths cross. Maybe they don't. Who knows? Who knows what happens? But I don't really concern myself too much on what the other guys are doing. I just try and focus on me and try and just progress myself, you know. So one fight at a time, etc. You know.
Awesome. Well, I'm really looking forward to your fight on the 2nd of March. Unfortunately, Rise of Champions is the same night. So for the first time in ages, I'm not going to be at Cage Warriors London. So I'll be sneakily watching it on Fight Pass anyway on my phone from Brentwood Centre. But wishing you the best of luck. Have you got any final words, Lewis?
No, just obviously, like you said, wish James all the best of luck. I think it's going to be a really good show. I know... you got Thundercat White's making his return from the UFC on that card as well. So, and Nathan Jones is another good fight on that card. So, plenty of good fights. And I think it's going to be a really good night. So, all the best for you, James.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Cheers for having me, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, James.
No worries. See you soon.
Hi, James.
All right.
He's a great guy. His jiu-jitsu coach is we share the same jiu-jitsu coach, so
He's got a lot of submissions on his record, James, doesn't he? So
my coach is very, very proud of him. So,
it's going to be a good matchup, like I said, with James as well. I've seen him say in previous interviews, like, when fighters are that worried about your ground game, it opens up the hands as well. And I think he showed in his last fight, obviously he got the KO, that he can do damage with his hands as well. So he definitely looks a good fighter, looks the real deal, and I look forward to seeing how it goes for him. And again, he's 2 years into his professional career. I think the sky's the limit for a guy like that, really.
Yeah, and that was mental, that last knockout that he got, because like all of Jason Radcliffe's team were like running into the back room where they were showing the replays and stuff. Like, what happened? Because it was literally like.
Well, he hit him, didn't he? And he looked like he took it. Yeah, and then he went down. If I remember right, it was a weird one. So, I don't know. I suppose you can't ever really say with taking a punch. It's one of those things, isn't it? Like, anything can happen. You don't know how your brain's going to react to getting hit. So, listen, he's a big guy. He said it himself. You only got to get clipped and anything can happen. So, it was a weird one, though. But, like I said, a,
You see it with body shots more often, don't you? Like a liver kick where they're like, it looks like they've taken it, and then there's like this delayed reaction where they just crumble. But
yeah, he's definitely got some power. He's, like you said, he's on the bigger end of the middleweight division as well. So if he hits
he'd consider going up. I bet when he's older and he's finding it tougher to cut weight. But
I think
probably knowing that when he gets to the UFC, he wants to fight in middleweight, he probably doesn't want to put too much on before then.
Yeah, I'm just going to see if I can look at the YouTube comments, because when we tried last time, crashed out, but if you want from here on out, I can do the YouTube, give you a shout when there's any YouTube comments on the
occasion. Oh, brilliant.
There you comment on it.
Chris telling me that my table's tidy, which it isn't. I thought we were going to be doing it on the laptop, and then we changed last minute.
Yeah. Where's your barbecue sauce from the background today, Katie?
No, husband got rid of that before we went live.
Fair play.
So next up, we've got George Tuco Tokos coming on. As I was saying to you before we went on air, he's training at Hard Knocks 365 at the moment out in Florida. That's the old Black Zillion. So be really interested to hear. Everyone's got a lot of praise for Henry Hooft, and obviously Rockhold's training out there at the moment, and Kamaru Usman's there. He said that there's some really high level training out there, so looking forward to hearing about that. But
did they have Rumble down there at one point as well? I'm sure.
Yeah, he was Rumble at the Black Zillions. Yeah,
it's quite a lot of good fighters came out of that gym, because I remember they did the Ultimate Fighter season where it was Black Zillions against American Top Team.
Yeah,
as no a love really lost good season there. Of the Ultimate Fighter. Yeah, it was a really good season that was it. And I think, like I said, a lot of those guys have gone over to Hard Knocks, haven't they?
Yeah. That'd be interesting if they... for me, I think I was probably the last person watching The Ultimate Fighter right to the end. But I feel like they could mix it up and do a few more gyms versus gyms.
Yeah, it was a good season. It was a good season. Like, it's kind of... It's gone off the boil a little bit, hasn't it, Ultimate Fighter? I tend to watch like the first couple of episodes, and then I tend to lose a bit of interest. It's not got the same draw as it used to. And
I think they just need to not do it every year, maybe. Go away for a few years, let the kind of youngsters and the talent rejuvenate itself. Otherwise, they're just going back to the same gyms, I guess, year after year.
It was Ultimate Fighter was actually the first sort of thing that got me into watching UFC. Here we go. George Tokos.
Hey, George. How are you guys doing?
How's it going?
Good, man. How are you guys? All good?
All good.
Really good, thanks. Are you still in Florida?
Awesome. Yeah, I'm in sunny South Florida.
Oh, you arsehole.
Yeah. Living the life.
It's been pissing down here all day.
Sorry. Not sorry.
So tell us about training.
Oh, training's been awesome. I'm training down in Fort Lauderdale at Hard Knocks 365. Was formerly the Black Zillions, with Henry Hooft, Greg Jones, Cammy Barzini, the coaches. And there's just like a wealth of talent down there. It's insane. The top guys in the world, really. You got like Kamaru Usman. He's fighting for the belt in the UFC. You got Luke Rockhold. Just the best guys from every promotion at every weight class, really. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah.
And how does training differ out there?
I guess it's just more like, I wouldn't say we're over-friendly in the UK, but just over here is so like regimented. The guys are so serious. Like when you turn up to training, a lot of the guys, they wrestled at a high level in like college, high school, whatever. And they're just like in that mindset. They come into training, they don't talk until after training's done. Like back home, we're really friendly. It's a good vibe in the gym. Out here, it's like, it almost reminds me of when you turn up to the arena and there's other fighters around and you're kind of like on edge, like you're really tuned in to perform. It's crazy.
And do you find that atmosphere easier to train in or harder?
At first, it's a bit intimidating, I'll be honest. It's a bit like, whoa, like you see these guys and they're the top guys in the world. And it's not so much that there's egos around, but they're just, everyone knows how good the level is. So everyone's kind of like they want to do well in training. But eventually it just becomes like you get with the program, and then you see like other guys who are the new guys, and then you see them in the same position you were in like a month ago, and you just kind of, you get into the meat grinder and you become a part of it yourself. It's awesome.
What do you do in your downtime?
In my downtime, I just recover. Out here, it's like they wrestle so much. Like the wrestling is just so intense that like you're just smashed. Like every fighter, there's parts of their game which they kind of find easier, or they're more into a certain discipline. Like originally, like back home, I consider myself more of a grappler. But out here, it's like the grappling and the wrestling is so high level. Like out here, I consider myself a striker. I'm just looking to stand. Yeah, it's crazy. So in my downtime, I'm so beat up. I just like just chill and eat good food, enjoy the sun, swim a little bit, go to the beach. Just the good life.
Not going to Disneyland then?
No, that's up in Orlando. That's a bit of a drive away. No, certainly not.
So let's talk about your fight. You're fighting Well, first of all, let's talk about when we were at UC MMA and you said, all you do is interview the amateurs at Titan. Where's my interview?
Yeah, I was like, where's my interview? What's up?
And I said, right, when are you fighting? You said Bellator Dublin. And I said, as soon as it's announced, we'll get this interview sorted.
Yep. So it takes a while for them to announce. Like, I signed the bout agreement and I'm waiting. They say on the bout agreement, like, you're not allowed to say anything until we announce it. So I'm like, oh, God. And everyone's asking me, you can't really say anything. Like, even a few of my teammates back home, like Stuart Austin, if he's listening, he's always like, when you fighting? And when he finds out, he's like, oh, you're a snake. You didn't tell me. He's like, oh, you're a big time star now. I'm like, no, I just couldn't say. It's in my bout agreement. It's in my contract. I can't say. So it took ages, but then they finally sent me the poster and I could announce it and let everyone know,
It was months, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was ages. I probably signed it before Christmas and I just had to wait and wait and wait until a few weeks ago.
And it was always the same opponent?
Yeah, same opponent. No changes there.
So you're fighting John Redmond at Bellator Dublin on the 23rd of Feb. Yeah. What can we expect from the fight?
From the fight, I mean, to be honest, I like the guy. Like, he's quite well known. He's up for it. He's been finished a lot. He's probably been finished more than fights that I've had. But I do like the guy. I respect him. Like, I'm not a trash talker. But if I do say anything that's offensive, I'm just being honest. You know, I do think he's a bit of a quitter. He likes a way out. You know, so I'm just gonna put the pain on him and bust him up a bit and give him what he wants, give him a way out.
Show off them new wrestling moves.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing that, you know, because out here you kind of, your level has to improve, otherwise you just get, you get busted up. So I'm looking forward to that, like seeing how I compare now to the UK guys.
Is it hard not getting starstruck amongst big names, or are they just sparring partners?
I've been coming out here for a few years now, like quite regularly. So you get to know these guys, you befriend them and stuff, and they just become your mates first and foremost. It's great when you get to train with people at that level. And then when you do, like, you start to do well against these guys and you're like, damn, that guy is like a world champ at my weight class. And I just nicked a round off him. Like, it's really good for your confidence in your game, you know.
And how did you first start going out there? Did you have a contact there or?
Literally, I was like visiting some friends and family out here and I was like, oh, I'm going to train. I was here for like a month and I just turned up to the old gym, which was called Combat Club. Mm. I just showed up with my gear. Actually, I walked in without my gear and Henry Hooft was there, the striking coach. And I said, hey, man, like, I'm from London. And he was friendly because he's European as well. He's Dutch. I said, oh, I'm out here for a few weeks, just wanted to train. And he was like, well, we're about to spar in 5 minutes. Have you got your stuff? I said, yeah, my stuff's in the car. He said, well, go get it. Let's see what you got. So I just ran to the car, got my gear, ran in. Everyone was already warming up, doing their warm-up rounds. I quickly put on my shin guards, my gloves. I didn't even get to warm up. Just put my mouth guard in. I was like, oh, shit. And I think maybe my first round was with Luke Rockhold. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, can you imagine? And he was like, yeah, he was going for it, like, And then I remember after the sparring, he said, yeah, you're good enough. You can train with us. And then he just sent me the schedule, and that was it. I was just in, you know. But then I've seen other guys come in, and they get beat up, and the coaches are like, maybe here's some places you can train and stuff, but you're not really ready to train with us yet. So it's good knowing you're good enough for that level, you know.
Yeah. Well, I've got to say that I travel to the States quite a lot for work, and wherever I go, I try out a new gym, and nobody's ever asked me to come back.
I guess they just want to know that, like, he just wanted to know that you're useful for his guys, you know?
Yeah. Well,
so I remember him saying to me, you got good kicks, you got really good kicks, but he's like, he said, my guys are good, you can kick him hard if you want. Like, he could see I was kind of a bit tentative, and he's like, don't hold back. Hit my guys. But yeah, that was good.
If the first person they gave you in sparring though was Luke Watcock, then I'm not sure you really know how hard to go.
I know.
Imagine you piss him off with your first kick.
Exactly. So I just took my time.
Lewis, have you got any questions for Tico?
Yeah, first one, obviously you're going out to Dublin to fight. What's your thoughts on that? It's known as being a passion place for MMA, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it, man. I love the Irish. I got a lot of Irish friends and stuff, and I'm just honoured really to be able to go out there and see the crowd and the fans there. I hope they're not going to be too hostile towards me. You know, I'm a Cockney Londoner, but I'm ready for that. I'm going to embrace that little culture pot. That'll be fun. I know he's the hometown guy, which I actually relish. You know,
it's a big card, isn't it? I mean, it's good exposure. Yeah. You're looking forward to sort of getting on a big show like that.
Yeah, of course. And going up against the world-renowned gym, and I know they'll be there. The card's full of guys from SBG. So I'm just happy to go against them, and I'm looking forward to it. My opponent's, he's that same height as me. He's quite tall. He's up for it. So I'm just going to have a proper scrap.
Yeah, I'm just having a look on the YouTube comments. Let's see what we've got. We've got Peter Knox asking his usual questions.
Oh, no, let me guess.
If you could change one rule of MMA, what would you change and why?
I just lost you there for a sec. What'd you say?
So one question we've got is, if you could change one rule in MMA, what would it be and why?
It would be... Everyone says soccer kicks, don't they? I don't want to say soccer kicks. I'll say, this is going to sound extreme, but when I used to watch like Vale Tudo back in the day, there'd be fights in Brazil where they'd actually headbutt on the ground with the ground and pound. I'd probably do that because I got a proper hard... boat. I got a good forehead for that.
I've seen ones where they were allowed to punch to the dick. Have you seen?
I've seen that. One of my favorite fights
up
ever.
For bringing that back?
No.
I don't want that to happen to me. But one of the best MMA fights I've ever seen was Chuck Liddell against Jose Lande Johns Pele, and they fought in Brazil, and it was in a ring with like netting on the bottom, and it was headbutts. It was gruesome, man. But that's where I was like, man, headbutts. I'd love to be able to headbutt on the ground. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Just straight Five through balls. Someone's guard. Bam. Yeah.
Okay, play. We've got another. How many Jaff cakes could you eat in a minute?
Oh, man. I could eat a lot. Do you know what? I think I'd done an eating challenge. It was the Ferrero Rocher one. It was like the world record. I attempted it, and I thought I could beat it, but I couldn't. But Jaffa cakes all day, I could eat 100, I'll say.
There's no drink, though. This is a big sticking point for some people.
That's fine with me. I got a big gob. I can keep it wet.
The record's 17 in a minute. Do you think you could smash
Jaffa
that?
Jaffa cakes, I think I could smash that. I might have to try it and send you the video.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
After the fight, of course.
Yeah.
I can do it after the fight.
I think this is gonna get down. We want to try and get as many people to do this as we can. Maybe we'll do like a charity thing. You know, raise a little bit of money. We'll pick a charity and we'll get as many fighters as we can to see who can do the most Jaff kicks in a minute.
I think that could be interesting. Reach out to my opponent. Ask him if he wants to do it after the fight. We can do it head to head. Yeah, as long as none of us gets DQ'd for punching the other in the dick, then I'm all good for that.
I mean, it's a fight ending move, isn't it? Dick punch. that's the fight over right there, I think, if I ask.
Proper.
last one we've got for you, Katie, is, have you got a new camera this evening? You look different.
Oh, that's because when I do it out of my laptop, I swear it makes me look fatter and horrible. But actually, I'm using my phone, Peter, so that's just rude.
There we go. Yeah, that's pretty much it for YouTube questions at the moment. Okay. I mean, can we get your prediction for this one? How do you see this one going?
For this fight, I think I'll stop him late in the first or early in the second. I mean, I've trained so hard for this. I don't see how he could beat me unless if I get caught, you know. But I'm aware of all his most dangerous moves and stuff. So I'll do my best to avoid him. But I think I'll get a stoppage late in the first or early in the second. Yeah,
I'll put
a hurt on him and give him a way out. I think he's a good quitter.
And, do you know where he trains? Sorry.
He trains at SBG. So I don't know where he used to train, but I remember he fought Charlie Ward in that famous fight where McGregor jumped in the cage after.
Yeah.
And then I think after that he went over to SBG to train there. So
okay.
That's what I think. But I don't know. I don't know what SBG is like at the moment. I know there's a lot of guys in and out of there since Conor made it so famous, but yeah, I don't know.
I guess you want to beat the best version of him anyway.
Yeah, of course. I'm not scared to lose. Like, I just want a great fight. I'm just up for the scrap, really, and I'm going to just do my best to hurt him, yeah. It's not personal. It's just work, yeah.
You say it in such a friendly, happy way.
Yeah, of course. That's my attitude. Like, it's not personal. I'm not a trash talker. I don't dislike the guy. He's just the guy. He's just like a blank face to me, you know?
Yeah. Your next victim.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, as you know, I'm sure you know Murdad Janzamini, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Sniper Fist. Yeah, whenever I get an opponent, he, like, finds them on social media and he starts to, like, comment on all their pictures with, like, provocative sexual things. So, oh, God. So I'm sure he sent me a post where my opponent posted the fight poster. And Sniper Fist commented on there going, like, with the aubergine emojis going, "You're going to get pumped." You know, he must be, what are these guys up to?
Well, we've moved over to YouTube because he was stalking our Facebook Live comments and upsetting
He's a menace. He's a menace.
He plagued Sage Northcutt. The questions he was leaving for Sage Northcutt, we could not read out. So
he's a menace.
Oh, Lewis, have you got any more questions?
Yeah, I want to ask for another prediction because you're obviously training down with Usman, you said. Yeah. He's got a big fight. How do you see that one going for the belt with Tyron Woodley?
Man, like, I rate Tyron Woodley so highly. Like, in every title fight he's had, all his defences, I was like, I've actually bet money on him. But being in the gym and seeing Kamaru's work ethic, like, it's just, I've never seen anyone like that. And he's absolutely flawless. Like, been watching his rounds closely. I'm in the gym with him every day. And firstly, he's a great guy, super humble, super cool guy, super friendly. And he's kind of almost like a team captain. Like, even today after training, he's like, he makes sure all the boys get round and stretch after we train. But I think Kamaru's going to cause an upset. I think he's gonna win. I think he's the perfect matchup. For Woodley, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people.
What's
he had to say about Ben Askren and all that Marty from Nebraska stuff?
I saw that at the press. Robbie Lawler trains with us as well.
Right.
So Kamaru and Robbie been training for both those opponents, same show, both against good wrestlers. I haven't heard him say anything about that, about Askren yet. Were they teammates or something on a wrestling team, right?
Yeah, like I think at school or something, right. Or like way, way back. And he was like, he's just, he's like into all this cultural misappropriation. Yeah. He's not even really like from there. Kamaru Usman's not his name. His name's Marty and he's from Nebraska. No.
He's a Nigerian nightmare.
He's like, it's all made up.
I've trained with him. I can tell you, he's a nightmare.
To be fair, Ben Askren is one of the best trolls in the UFC. Ooh. I think he's He's such a funny guy when he gets trolling people.
It's good to see him. It's good to see him in the UFC. That's another one. I think Robbie's going to surprise people again because I've been watching him train, and he's just, I don't know what to say about him. He's like a zombie almost. He's just like so focused, and I just think he's going to beat Askren up. I remember seeing Askren said he hasn't been punched in years. Like,
yeah,
but I think he's going to get punched. Like,
not a good Robbie's person to get just punched against, is it?
Yeah,
so time back, like.
Robbie's just a vet. It's like, he's crazy. Even in the gym watching him, he's almost like not there sometimes while he's training. It's like, you see, I see someone maybe try and put a combination on him and that would hurt anyone else. And you just see Robbie like poker face, just like walking through it. You're like, Jesus, this man's just like, focused.
And it's great preparation for him to go down and work with Kamaru and other great wrestlers because he's going to be facing such a good wrestler. So very smart on his part, I would say. Moving down there to Florida. Like, I mean, what's your long term plans? We just had James Webb on a second ago. And we sort of go into it with him. What's your long term plans in this? Where do you see yourself in the next couple of years? Obviously, looking past this fight a little bit.
Just gonna try and put a win streak together, you know, and just keep going. I'm not one of these guys, to be honest, who's like, I want to be a world champ. Like, I got a life outside of fighting. I'm a cool guy. I enjoy the ride, obviously. Great opportunity, but I don't know, that almost, it sickens me a little bit, if I'm honest, when I see these young guys and they're like, I want to be a world champ. I'm just like, man, who gives a fuck? Like, I don't really, I'm just you know, I want to have a nice life, good life, have fun. I enjoy training, being healthy, fighting is just an awesome ride, but I just want to live a great life, and I'm not like obsessed with the fight game, you know. I train hard for fights, I give it my all, get paid, get laid.
That sounds like a Jan Zamini line, doesn't it? That sounds like a Bird Ad line.
But yeah, that's just my... I'm just going to try to put a win streak together, just always win and put on a show for the fans, help to grow the sport a little bit. And that's it, really. Just represent my hometown, London, and the people around me, my friends and family, you know.
Who's in your corner for Bellator?
In my corner, well, I'll see what coaches from here are going to fly out, but I'll probably have my mainstay in my corner, Mr. Ashley Grimshaw, who's headlining his own Bellator out in the States.
I'm actually interviewing him on Wednesday. You know I love to get my title
Ash
voice
is
on.
My guy. I call Ash my uncle. Ash is like, I've been with Ash since day one, you know, like since the first fight I ever had. Ash has been there. He's like highly knowledgeable. I regard him like as one of the top guys to have in your corner. Like, there's a lot of, I've seen a lot of, since I've been fighting, I've been in a lot of corners as well, and I see like different coaching styles, and for me, Ash is like flawless. He's completely like stoic. He's great at giving information. He always knows the right thing to do. I regard Ash to be one of the best cornermen, and whenever there's other fighters you have Ash in their corner as well, I'm like, you know about Ash. So Ashley Grimshaw, he's always a mainstay in my corner. I have my boxing coach, John Durant, from Durant's gym back home.
Yep.
Really good boxing coach, really underrated. A lot of fighters are starting to work with him now because he's really, a lot of boxing coaches, they're not fans of MMA and they don't really adapt their style for MMA, but he's really, really good like that. He really adapts the boxing for MMA. And then I'll probably bring one of the coaches out from here. Maybe the wrestling coach, Greg Jones or Henry, I'll see who wants to come out. A lot of guys, they want to travel, but they got a lot of fighters to corner. When you see the board in the gym of the fights that they got coming up, there's like 30 fights and it's like title fight here, there. They got guys in UFC, Bellator, ONE Championship, Brave, like everywhere. There's guys all over.
It's exciting to be around that though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And motivating. Some of the guys I train with are just awesome. There's also some guys from back home out here, which is good. You've got Linton Vassell, top guy, nicest guy in the gym. Danny Roberts. So some cool English guys. Just like cool guys in the gym. Another guy, Ong La and Sang. He's the double champ at ONE Championship. He trains with us here. So it's just like such a deep roster like in the gym. It's awesome.
Yeah. He's a big deal out in Asia, isn't he, Ong La?
Yeah. And he's one of the most humble guys ever. Like, he's the most humble guy. He's the guy who's like, oh, everyone, let's go for lunch. Like, let's let's all hang out. He's just so down to earth, man. Such an awesome guy.
I was reading reading an article the other day. They like erected a huge statue of him in Burma.
Yeah, it's incredible, like, man. Crazy, when I saw that, I always make fun of him. I'm like, you're my hero. You're my hero. I want to get a t-shirt of him and wear it around because he's just, that guy's awesome, man. Awesome. And he always wants to help out in the gym. Like, for someone who's so, like, famous now, he's like, he always wants to help out. He's like, do you need someone to hold pads for you? Or he always wants to help you drill. Like, super nice guy.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Like, you got a fighter who in Asia is that big. And then you come to like UK and America, and people don't really know who he is.
People don't know.
Walk past him on the street. It's absolutely crazy.
The real fans know who he is.
Yeah, definitely. We've got some YouTube questions coming in.
Go ahead.
Well, Peter Knox is asking, "Have you ever shit talked your opponent?" Which we know is a no. But
I haven't. No, and even like my last opponent, I fought a Chinese guy, and I actually got him a gift at the weigh-in. Like, I got gifts for him and his coach.
What did you get him?
I got him like one of those little gold cats that waves.
Oh, you're supposed to be lucky. Yeah. That was brave of you.
And I got his coach some tea as well. Chinese tea. Yeah, I went out my way and went and found some Chinese stuff for them. Yeah. I don't shit talk. If someone shit talks me though, then I'll give it back proper. But I don't think I would start shit talking. But if someone wants to shit talk me, I can do that all day. Like,
have you come across an opponent who has?
No, not really. I think I fought a Romanian guy once, and I said in the build-up, I was like, it's going to be a quick night. And we went to decision, and then after, he was like, oh, you said it was going to be a quick night, but you see, I only lost by decision. I'm like, yeah, bro, you still lost. Like, I beat you.
But you were wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to change the question up slightly because you said, would you ever shit talk to get in someone's head? But what I was going to ask, would shit talking ever get in your head if someone was good at it?
No, especially where I come from. Like, I grew up in London. I'm from Camden Town. I'm from quite a bad neighbourhood. And if someone giving words, it's just words. Like, no one could ever get in my head.
Fair play. Also, the next one we've got then, who is your dream opponent in MMA?
My dream opponent in MMA. What, like, what's the biggest fight I could get? Or, like, stylistically, my dream opponent? What do you think?
Both.
I don't know. My dream opponent. Well, I'd probably say, like, I don't know. I quite fancy, like, the UFC champ at the moment, Robert Whittaker. I think he's quite a small middleweight. Got good hands and stuff, but he'd probably be a good opponent, you know?
Yeah, that's a cool one. That is a cool opponent to actually pick. Yeah. How do you see his next fight going, by the way?
He's quite small. I don't know, they're both small. We were talking about that in the gym. They're both, like, welterweights coming up. So I don't really see it as, like, a true middleweight contest, you know? I think there's bigger, better middleweights out there who could beat the pair of them, you know? Like, they couldn't get a sniff at welterweight, and now they're fighting for the middleweight title, you know? So, I mean, they're both good fighters and stuff. I don't know what will happen with that. I quite like Gastelum. He seems like a nice kid. Yeah.
I think Whittaker's looked so much better since he's moved up, though.
I'm sure it's a healthier move, but I just don't see him as, like, a real star. I don't see him as, like, a dangerous guy, you know? Like, when I look at, like, Rockhold, Romero, like, these are dangerous guys who can, like, finish people emphatically. But I just see him as, like, he's a humble champ, hardworking, but I don't see him as, like, special talent, you know?
What did you think of his last fight with Romero? What did you think of the decision?
He got dropped a couple of times. I'm a fan of Romero. I wanted Romero to win that. He got dropped a couple of times, didn't he? I thought he lost it personally, and they should have had like a trilogy, right? They fought before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They fought twice, yeah. I thought, oh, that sets up the trilogy, but I don't know. Who knows?
Nasty finish that was, wasn't it? A nasty finish that last one.
Yeah.
Any more questions, Lewis, on the YouTube?
No, nothing else. Someone's asking where you got your hoodie from, Katie.
Oh, I think this shit's stirring, Lewis.
I still haven't got one of these hoodies. This is where the issue lies. So, you know, I've started putting my foot down and demanding a hoodie, I think.
Or a gi. Oh, no.
But yeah, no other questions coming on YouTube now. That's the last of them.
The comments awesome. Are just abusing us.
Yeah.
We'll set up the Jaffa Cake Challenge for the next day after the fight, 24th
We definitely set it up. Definitely set it up. We'll do it. Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on, especially when you're in Florida.
My pleasure, guys. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Enjoy the weather.
And good luck with the fight.
Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. I'll speak to you soon.
Catch you, Winnie.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Lewis, we keep getting told off because we haven't told anyone to subscribe to our YouTube channel yet.
So, yeah, guys, apologies for not telling anyone yet. This is our YouTube channel. Please subscribe to it. It's at WeAreMMAUK. We're delivering brilliant content like this on a daily basis now. So the more you subscribe, the better we'll do. And, yeah, if you want to see more videos like this, keep subscribing and keep liking as well. And that's across all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. The hashtag is always at WeAreMMAUK. And, yeah, we really appreciate the support, guys. So please do keep following us because we're working pretty hard, aren't we?
Yeah. So what have you got coming up? In terms of, you're not going to be at Cage Warriors London, are you? You're at Cage Warriors Academy in Wales that night.
It's a shame it's on the same night because I love the London cards. I love going to the O2 and covering the cards there. I've done the last couple now for MMA UK. I really enjoyed it. But unfortunately, it's the same night as Cage Warriors Academy Wales. A show in my hometown that I can't really turn down. You know, you've got a lot of homegrown Welsh talent coming up on there.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, that one was too good for me to miss. Got Josh Reed headlining. Oban Elliott making his pro debut against Brett Hassett. Obviously, we spoke to Oban a few weeks ago, so really looking forward to that fight. Really looking forward to that one. And then I've got another one coming up in, February the 16th. And that's Strike and Submit, and that's going to be down in Port Talbot. So that's going to be a really good card as well. I know there's a lot of Scottish guys watching, so that's going to be with Big Jamie McDonald is going to be fighting on that card. And it's going to be a good couple of months, I think, for us. What about yourself?
Well, likewise, I can't go to the Cage Warriors London card because it's the same night as Rise of Champions. We were supposed to have Chopper Chai Lewis Parry on this evening, but unfortunately, he was having technical difficulties. I'm going to do a pre-recorded interview with him this week anyway and get that up for people because he's going to be headlining against Lucas Porobic. And that's a rerun of the fight they had in Bama.
I was there for that one. I was there for that up in London.
So it's a controversial decision. It's really hard to track down the fight. I wasn't actually there, but... It
wasn't the most exciting fight in the world, I'm not going to lie. Maybe that was a conscious decision by Bama that you can't track that one down. It wasn't the most exciting fight. It was a draw, I think, it ended in.
Yeah.
And hopefully these two guys for ROC are going to give it a bit more gusto
so
this time.
And I've watched so many other fights of Lewis Parry where he looks like super exciting. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that he's going to want to come back because he's won every single other fight that he's had.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that he just wants to prove that was just an off night and he's going to I don't mind who wins, but I'm hoping that it's going to be fireworks this time around and he'll be looking to bring it and Lucasville as well because I know Lucasville's really hard done by. He felt that he won the fight.
I scored the fight to him, to be fair. I thought he did enough. I thought Lewis overlooked him a little bit, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
He had good timing and that kind of threw Lewis off and that's why I thought he won. But no, like I said, hopefully he doesn't underestimate him this time, which maybe he did last time. And you'll see him back with the exciting style that we know him for.
Yeah. And Chopper Chai had a point deducted in that fight as well. So I think more convinced eye pokes, yeah. So, looking forward to seeing that one. Hoping it's more exciting than the first time around. We've also got Luke Chayner making his pro debut on that card. And Lonnie Kavanagh, he trains at Richmond Fitness Center. Brad Pickett does such a good job of bringing these guys through the ranks from, starting out at the bottom of the amateur card all the way through the pro card. And either of those two could be headlining, you know, by the end of the year. So, yeah, that'd be amazing. I'm looking forward to seeing both of those guys in action as well. So that's what we'll be doing when everyone else is at Cage Race London.
Well, I want to ask as well, Brad grappled on the weekend, didn't he? What did you think of that decision for that fight? Because I was watching, I thought Brad had most of the action for the bit I saw.
Yeah, it's submission or TKO only.
Oh, okay. So it's not a score, no judges.
No, so yeah, he definitely would have won on points. Well, in my opinion, he definitely would have won on points. I didn't think he looked in trouble at all, and he was always the most aggressive. But obviously, unless you get that tap out or that knockout, it doesn't count. And it was a kind of modified rule set where you couldn't strike from standing. You could only strike on the ground. So yeah, he's also had a match in Polaris, and I know he finds it quite frustrating not being able to punch people in the face when he's doing jiu-jitsu, so to open their guard. So I thought this was like perfect rule set for him, but it still is tricky, isn't it, to finish people in that shorter time, especially if they're being quite defensive.
From what I see of that fight, I didn't know. I've only saw that fight because you sent me the link. I'd assume because there were strikes that they would give up a points system for the strikes landed. Submission attempts. So I did just assume that there was going to be judges. But yeah, if you'd been judges, I think Brad definitely would have taken it. But I guess you got to get finished with that. So can't really say anything about that. But I've started getting more into grappling shows at the moment. I went to Polaris in Cardiff and really enjoyed it. So I think this with the strikes in as well, it gives us an extra element to the strike, to just the normal grappling. So
yeah,
I think it's a really good idea. Pantheon, wasn't it? It was the promotion was called.
Yeah, that was the first one they'd put on. So it's some big names on the card for the first one.
Mm. It seemed a tidy little setup from what I could see as well.
Yeah, it was at Leeds University, I think. So I am liking all of these like slightly changed rules and modified rules that are popping up, because jiu-jitsu can be quite be a little bit on the boring side if not a lot happens. This can be like a 0-0 game of football, I guess. And if people know that they've got to go for the submission, they can't play for the points. I think it makes it a bit more exciting for the spectators anyway.
Mm. With the Polaris one I went to see last time, there was one or two boring fights, but I think for the most part there were so many high-level grapplers. Like the one of the matches was Benson Henderson and Wagner Rocha, and it was just insane to see those guys both just going for a submission. In the end, Benson Henderson got choked out pretty much, so it was a crazy fight. But yeah, you do see some boring ones, and like you said, it's a bit like a 0-0 football match then. But I mean, when you have ones with the punches, that definitely adds an extra element, because you can't always, if you're on the bottom, you can't really stall. Yeah. Even if you're on the top, you can't stall as much, I guess, because you're going to be eating elbows and punches from the bottom.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, we're getting Nathan Jones on next, that's right?
Yeah, we are, Mr. Bag and Tag. So, he and Tuco were at the same UC MMA event, both giving me shit for interviewing everyone at Team Titan apart from them two, so... That's why I had to get them both on.
Yeah.
But Nathan, I actually, because he was having his fight at Cage Warriors Colchester the week after, I got him at UC MMA, and we obviously spoke after his big win over Brad Wheeler. And it was only when he was coming on today that I did like some proper research into his record, because it feels he's lost four in a row before the Brad Wheeler one, and I certainly didn't realise that was the case. But he's had some properly tough fights the last few runouts before Wheeler. He'd fought Alex Lahore for the vacant welterweight belt at Bama, and he lost to Ross Houston as well. He's obviously the current Cage Warriors welterweight champ. So he was fighting right at the top of these promotions. And he obviously just had a little bit of a tough run, so...
And Proctor as well, I think, beat him, another good Scottish guy.
Yeah.
So a lot of good fighters that he's lost to. And it was a big win for him to come back against Brad Wheeler, because Brad's a really good fighter. So, really big win for Nathan there. So, there's the man himself now.
Hello.
Mr. Bag and Tag.
Hello, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. How's it going?
Can you turn your phone sideways for us, please? Is that okay?
How's that?
Yeah, perfect. So, where are you calling us from?
Me. Home. I'm at home.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were training tonight.
No. I'm at home for you guys.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. So, how's fight camp treating you?
Yeah, fight camp's going well. Can't wait, to be fair. I'm ready to go.
And you're fighting Martin Harris at Cage Warriors 102 in London.
Yep.
What do you make of your opponent?
His game. Yeah, he's all right. Don't think he's a killer. I mean, I've fought some killers. Who knows? We'll see how it goes, you know. I'll be ready.
You're another one who's not really much of a shit talker, are you?
To be fair, not anymore, really. I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy with life. You know, if the fight was paying my bills, then I'd put more effort into the preamble of it and stuff. But it's not. So, do you know what I mean? I'm just a bit too busy now. But it's all good. Why do you want me to talk more shit?
You can say whatever you want.
Well, yeah, he's this, he's that. Nah. I've done this too many times now, you know, and I've had fights where I put more effort into it, but it just takes more effort into the lead up and stuff, but it just takes too much effort, too much energy and stuff, and do you know what I mean? It's very mentally draining to always stay on and you know, and be this character.
Yes.
And Mr. Bag and Tag is a character in my eyes. It's not really me anymore. Do you know what I mean?
When did you first start going by that name?
When I first started fighting, actually, to be fair. I mean, people are supposed to, you know what I mean, you're supposed to be given a fight name, but I couldn't wait to get everyone, so I was like proper brainstorming like fight names, like, and it came up with Bag and Tag one day. Everyone thought it was a joke, to be fair. A lot of people, like even in my own camp, a lot of people would laugh at me, like, what are you doing that for, Nathan, or whatever, you know. Then I had a fight and I was flagging and then my crowd just started saying Bag and Tag to the point where everyone was going for it. It was like a nice little cozy venue, and it just lifted me up, and after that it was like, well, I can't not use it now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was good timing, because it was when I was still amateur and that. And then, lined me up nicely for my pro career. And now I can't shake it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I've been at Cage Warriors London, where everyone's been shouting that as well.
Yeah, and do you know what? I mean, my first few fights, when, you know what I mean, people will believe in the hype. I used to fight the Troxy on UCMMA. Then, oh my goodness, you know what I mean, the atmosphere was crazy. Like, you could hear it. And when people didn't know who I was, it was like, who's that guy? You know what I mean? I've got to get back there one day. Do you know what I mean? I'll get there one day. But nah, it's all a bit of tongue-in-cheek and that. But, it's a bit of an alter ego for me.
It must be a big lift, though, to hear, you know, like, it's such a... It's like a chant that really take off and you can really hear it. It must be a big lift when you're in the cage.
100%. 100%, because like that's how your crowd can connect with you. And do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
And I know that they're talking about me because it's my name.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a good way to distinguish throughout all the crowd, because I've been the away fighter, I've been the underdog, and you know what I mean, you're not quite sure if they're cheering for you. Well, you do, yeah. Because if they do a good move and it's like, you know, but when it's they're synced with you calling your name, it's
yeah.
It's good. It's a good way to you know, get you in that zone and keep you there.
And you alluded to it earlier, but you have fought an awful lot of killers, like, you know, people who've got the belts at the moment. Obviously, Ross Houston, Alex Lahore, Bama. Like, what has that been like? And do you feel that you're back up there challenging for those spots again?
Yeah, man, 100%. I mean, yeah, you just named just two names there. I've had a lot of pro fights, and if you look back, I've fought the top guys for a good amount of years, and it's cool, man. I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. I don't want easy fights. I don't need easy fights. You know, at the same time, I've got nothing to prove. You know what I mean? You say my name, you know my name, it carries weight. And I do believe I've got what it takes. I've travelled a lot, and I've sparred some you know, household names in that, and I've got the skills. And I do believe that, and you know, I keep going. I keep going to as long as I need to. I just need that break where the fight person is reflecting the. Not so much my skill set, but it's reflecting the risks that I'm taking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. No disrespect to cage warriors, but it ain't there.
So what is the plan for you?
I don't know. I mean, I've had plans and I don't really want to jinx it. So, I mean...
Fair enough.
I'll take one step at a time. Right now, it's to get past Martin Harris, and then from there, then I can see what's good. I've been where I've plotted out my next 3-4 fights, and I'm like, yeah, right, cool. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. Not got the result I've wanted, and then you know, all of a sudden, automatically, that door just shuts,
yeah.
And it shuts with a sting. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And that's not just from promoters, that's from sponsors, it's also from, you know, from support. Do you know what I mean? People are fickle out there, but the guys that are with me, they're with me, and I love them with all my heart, you know, so
yeah.
It's all good. I'm doing me. I enjoy fighting. I do it because I enjoy it, you know, not because I need to do it. So there's a big difference for me right now, so I'm gonna carry on fighting whilst I enjoy it.
Yeah, and obviously your last fight was that big win over Brad Wheeler, Cage Warriors veteran. How satisfying yes. was that?
Do you know what? I'll be honest with you, and I've not actually said it because no one's actually asked me. But it's okay. This one's for you. Had I lost that? That would have been it. That would have been gloves hung up. Not because, not obviously everyone wants to win, but
oh no,
we lost him.
Oh no, I think we have. Yeah,
wait a second. He might pop back. His little square still in there, second. So perhaps he just lost connection.
I'm going to take this moment to start charging my phone as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take the earphones out as well. Design flaw with these.
I know, that's the problem with the flash connector. Hopefully we'll get Nathan back in just so we can finish off that point, because that was...
juicy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He left us on a cliffhanger.
keeping us wanting more. We have a few questions for him as well on YouTube, so.
Oh, let's hope we can get him back on. Oh, his square's gone, Lewis.
Oh, here we go.
Hello?
Here we go, Nathan.
Hi, are you back?
Hello, sorry about that. My connection's a bit dodgy.
Yeah. We lost you just at the best part of that story then.
Sorry. But I still, I would have hung my gloves up if I didn't win that. Everyone wants to win and stuff, and it's not that I don't need to win, but we need to see proof in the pudding, and you need to still have that direction going forward and see results. You need to see results for the hard work. You know, we put all our time and effort, us fighters, and the level that we're fighting at is, you know, it's all or nothing. You're in it or you're not. And I've made so many different changes. I've put it all on the line. I've sacrificed. And it's been a few bouts where it's just, what more could I do physically? What more could I have done? Do you know what I mean? But I didn't. So yeah, I'm still here. And I mean, I'm just scratching the surface. Even though it's like my 22nd, this would be my 22nd fight. I don't even think I've got near to my peak. So I've still got a lot more to offer. And hopefully you'll see this in my performances.
God, I had no idea that you came that close to retiring. Actually, when I spoke to you afterwards, you look relieved more than you look like excited.
Yeah, because like I said, I've still got a long way to go. Do you know what I mean? In relation to most other fighters, in relation to Brad, actually, my body clock is so young. You know, I started training relatively late in life, and it's like there's so much more to go. And I'm that kind of person. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right. And
yeah,
it wouldn't have been the right time to stop. You know, I'm not finishing with the goal incomplete. And now your next question could be, well, what is your goal? Well, the goal is, you know, the goal is to be world champion. And I had my chance a couple of years ago, or a year and a half ago. And yeah, it's a bitter pill. That was a bitter pill to swallow. But I'm at peace with it. And yeah, I ain't going to stop until one, I get that rematch. Two, I get that belt around my waist.
Yeah. I think the hardest part of fighting has got to be picking yourself up after a result doesn't go your way. Like you said as well, just if you can't attract the sponsors or whatever, it must just feel like one kick in the teeth after another. And it's so tough. And people, I can see why people do walk away from it, but it's just that fighter mindset. Like it's not even just the punches and the kicks that you take in the cage. It's what you have to go through mentally to still believe in yourself every time that something doesn't go your way.
No, 100%, 100%. But you know, I've got a really strong team around me that have helped to, you know what I mean, help me keep that focus, because you know, it's a lonely place in that cage, I tell you, especially when that door shuts. You know what I mean? It's an individual sport, but it really is a team effort. So, no, shout out to my team.
Awesome. Lewis, I think you said we've got some YouTube questions for Nathan.
Yeah, we've got a few. One question from me first, Nathan.
You said
earlier your goal is to become world champion. A pretty stacked division in the welterweight division now, isn't it? You've got obviously Ross Houston. There's an interim belt coming up now between Lahore and Dalby. As well as a lot of other good fighters. You know, you've got Aaron Khalid who's doing well, yourself off the back of a victory. Where do you see yourself amongst that lot at the moment?
I see myself in a pool full of sharks, you know?
Yeah.
But
definitely,
that's all good. Kate, you missed that opportunity when you know, I was saying I had, you know, I've been fought in tough people. You should have been like, yeah, but Nathan, you're a killer as well. That's what you should have said. But you didn't say that.
I'm sorry.
But I forgive you. I forgive you.
I think it's a bit of a time delay. I was just about to say it now.
Oh, wait. Well, you know. Now, on a serious note, I see myself in the midst of it, you know. But unfortunately, like, I've not had the streak, you know. I've got the experience. I've seen pretty much anything and everything. I've fought different types. I've thrown different things, you know. But I'm starting my run. I'm starting my run from now.
Yeah,
you know, is all I can say. I've experienced fighting them. I've taken fights that no one's wanted to accept. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've come away with a W. So I know I can do it. I've tasted that, like, that climb, and I've tasted the top. You know what I mean? And I've had it in the bell is at the tips of my fingers. Do you know what I mean? So I know it's in my reach, and I know I can do it again. You know, it's just, I've just got to wait for time. You, like you're saying, for the time lapse. No one can take from you what you don't let go of. And yeah, man, don't worry. Time, you know what I mean? Time will tell. I guess get past mine, Harris, and then I'll have the confidence in myself to take those tough fights again. And then there won't be a question. You know what I mean?
Today, Graham Boylan tweeted saying that the 170 division is a shark tank, and there's a new resident shark about to be unleashed into the shark tank. Do you know who that is?
I think he's talking about Craig White. But I'm not sure.
Yeah, we thought he was already announced that, like, maybe it was somebody else.
Might, yeah, I thought you were saying they're signing somebody else, like signing a new fighter.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's where I got from it.
Wasn't sure if you had an inside scoop.
Nah. I don't, I'm afraid.
No scoop.
it ain't me, so he ain't talking about me, do you know what I mean? So don't worry. Next question.
So we've got a few in the YouTube comments here. A few from Chris Emmanuel. First one.
That's my guy right there.
First one is he asking, can you ask Nathan when he's getting married?
Oh my God, this guy. Oh my, that's not my guy. That's your boy. Fuck your boy. I don't know. That's a good question. Everyone's still, or a family still asking me that. I don't know. It's in the works. Right now, I'm just keeping my head down, putting my front foot forward and saving. And when the time's right, the time's right. You know, it's not a rush. So,
are you one for proposing in a cage?
Nah.
I'm one of those champions.
Yeah. I mean, each to their own. It's not my style. I'm very much more private in a sense. And yeah, whenever I tell people that, I keep myself to myself. They're like, "What? No, you don't." Like, you know, I'm very vocal on social media. I don't mind putting myself out there. But like I said right at the start, there's two people. There's Mr. Bag and Tag, that will sign the contract, and then there's Nathan Jones, that does what he can to get Mr. Bag and Tag ready. So
yeah,
brilliant. Next one. We've got a couple from Chris Emmanuel, so I'll go for the next one. He just says, "You look adorable." just statement, you look adorable.
Well, do you know what? I let him off for the first question then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And the next one he's asking, can you ask Nathan if the beef with Alex Lahore is still going and if you'd like to face him again in Cage Warriors?
Okay. First of all, this is my interview, so I don't. I'm going to just say this as it is, and then I'm going to move on as quickly as I can because it's my time. I don't like the guy. Everything that's gone on is true. You know, there's no acting on both parts. It takes two to tango. So if it engages the viewers and gets people interested in the fight, then you know what? He's playing his role. Do you know what I mean? But even after the fight, I shook his hand. I congratulated him, and that was sincere. But since then, there's been two occasions where he's thrown it in my face. You got knocked out once. You want to get knocked out again? Do you know what I mean? Said it publicly. One was just before I was going to, just literally like an hour, 2 hours before I was going to fight Adam Proctor. That happened. And then another occasion was when my friend, we were backstage and we both were cornering people. Do you know what I mean? And I don't have time for people that cross the line. This is a sport and some people just take it a bit too far. I've lent my. That's the reason why I left Bama, because, you know, it was said publicly. So I said, okay. I went about the right channels to get the fight again. If you wanted that much, he wants to say in front of everyone. Well, there's this time and a place, and the time and the place is where we're both getting paid, not backstage where. It's not for us. But I didn't get a fight, so I moved on. And then he's followed me or joined after me, whatever. So, again, if the stars align, then cool. But I don't need to call him out. I don't need to ask for that fight. I'm at peace. I can move on. He's not worth my time. But at the same time, I'm not going to say no, so I'll take that with open arms. But I only want fights where I'm going to progress and move forward. So,
how do you see this fight with Dalby going?
On paper, I'll give it to Dalby, but, you know, it's MMA. You got to love it or you got to hate it. Do you know what I mean? It's a game of inches, so he could get lucky. Depends if he's still seeing his same voodoo person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
True story.
Oh Meatbag 92 is asking, how are you tackling nutrition just now?
Nutrition's going well. Shout out to Yanis Fleming, Mr. Sport, you know what I mean? He knows his stuff, man. So nutrition, diet is never a problem. Never have a problem making weight. I was bang on the button.
You don't make fat that much, do you?
Nah, I don't. But I still have to do it right. You know, I still got to make the weight.
Yeah.
You know. But no, you're right. I mean, I'm relatively a small welterweight, and if there's a 165 division, that's me. I'm waiting to go down. To be fair. And until then, I still got to fight these big guys, and they're getting bigger and bigger. But I'm a technical fighter. I'm a cerebral fighter, so it doesn't faze me if they're naturally 5 kilos bigger than me. And
yeah,
you know, is what it is. Really,
that's another reason why you feel you've got like less miles on the clock as well. Do you feel like you're like younger in your fighting career?
Yeah, I mean,
age.
Yeah, yeah. I don't put as much stress on the body as others do. Yeah. And I also train smart. Do you know what I mean? There's too many people that have gym wars and they ain't getting paid. Fucking, do you know what I mean? I gotta be getting paid to be taking constant needless risks.
Are there people you avoid in sparring?
No, not necessarily avoid in sparring, but, you know, I don't know, man. I don't really want to name drop, but I've sparred some guys that just all you want to do is just take your head off. But then when it comes to it, you know, they're gonna have to do that in the cage. So yeah, whatever. But that's not me. I know how to fight. You know what I mean? So I just need to get myself ready to fight, as opposed to fighting in the gym.
And a prediction for this fight on the 2nd of March? How are you going to win?
I like that question. How? First round, sub, bag and tag. Yeah, I got to get that finish. It's been a while since I got a finish. So I need to do it for myself first and foremost, but then I need to do it for the haters out there, people that not so much, not haters, non-believers. There you go, the non-believers out there. First round sub. I don't want to call the sub because it can go anywhere. It could even go the distance. In that case, right, it's either going to be a rear naked choke, it's going to be a triangle, or it's going to be a dast choke. One of the three, you know. Right. No, I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go. I'm happy either way, but ideally I would like a finish, and I'd like it in as quickly as possible. I don't get paid overtime.
Right, I'm going to get on my betting app as soon as we're off this call.
And if I make you some money, you better go hard with me.
Okay, I'll buy you a drink,
how's that? Well, all right, it's the best I'm going to get, I suppose.
Awesome. Have you got any more questions for Nathan Lewis?
No, many more questions. The last one from YouTube is just asking, how many Jaff Cakes can you eat in a minute? The standard question we've been asking at you.
If this is straight after the fight, I could beat 17 easy, straight after the fight, no problem at all. Yeah, but my thing's cheesecake. I'm a fiend for cheesecake. So you line up that cheesecake, I'll go on for days, no problem at all. You know.
I swear somebody said cheesecakes last week as well. We've got to get some competitive eating going on for the podcast.
There's no contest when it comes with me. Listen, there's no contest. I am the champ.
I won't tell Mr. Sport.
No.
Awesome. Any more from you, Lewis?
No, just want to say thanks for coming on, and look forward to watching you fight up in the O2, Nathan.
No, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Cheers.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
There you go. So, I think you have to press like there's like a little hang up button there, Nathan. There we are.
Yeah, we got him.
Awesome. So, that's another one in the bag, Katie.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing it with me tonight.
No worries.
Some great guests.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm really looking forward to that Cage Warriors London now. Obviously, it's disappointed that I can't be there, but you said, going to be sneaking in between fights to have a look at the results and have a look at the highlights. I think is one of those things. We can't do it when they're all on the same night, unfortunately, can we?
No, I'm just glad that the Wi-Fi is pretty good at the Brentwood Centre, so
yeah,
we're going to be watching both.
I think at Edenvale Leisure Centre, I don't think it's going to be too great, so I'm just going to be focusing on focusing on the card at hand. But yeah, it's going to be some great fights on that Cage Warriors London. Disappointing I can't be there, but next time we'll be there, and I'm going to be at the Copenhagen one as well, so that's going to be a good card. And obviously we're going to see his good friend Lahore fighting on that one, so
I always say you've got to be going some to fall out with Brad Pickett as well. He's like the nicest guy in
yeah
the day, so
definitely
cool. We've got Bellator Newcastle this weekend, and we should get to watch it live, the main card live on Channel 5. So
yeah, we've got our guy James Hamilton going down as well, haven't we? So
yeah, we'll be covering that. We'll get live results up for people who can't watch it, and
post fight interviews as well, guys.
Post fight interviews.
Keep an eye on our page, on our Facebook, YouTube, and our colleague James Hammett will be down there getting some post-fight interviews and getting some coverage for you. So,
and if you're watching us on YouTube, please click the subscribe button that's just under the video.
Yeah, give it a like, guys. It takes literally 1 second to like that. Not even 1 second. And it means a lot to us. So, yeah, please give that like button a hit. Or subscribe button, I should say. Like button's a different thing, isn't it?
Well, give us a like as well. You can like the videos as well.
Just press everything.
Brilliant. Thanks, Lewis.
No worries, Kate. You have a good evening.
And you.
Cheers. Right.